So we would like to preach this morning, this afternoon, from Psalm 115, verse 12. And we're just going to read the very first part of verse 12, Psalm 115. The Lord hath been mindful of us. What a glorious truth. What a wonderful thought. The Lord hath been mindful of us. What an amazing statement. Those words should fill us with wonder. The Lord hath been mindful of us. Those words should fill us with marvel. They ought to fill us with awe. They ought to fill us with a spirit of reverence. The Lord hath been mindful of us. Certainly those words should fill us with the deepest humility, should fill us with utmost joy and thanksgiving. The Lord hath been mindful of us. Those words should fill us with love for Him. They should fill our hearts, our minds, our mouths, and our lives with praise to Him and exaltation to Him. The Lord hath been mindful of us. Such a thought ought to overwhelm us that God, the God of creation, would be mindful of us. And I believe as the psalmist wrote these words, he did so with great wonder and amazement. In fact, in Psalm 8 and verse 4, he asked the question, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" So we want to speak this afternoon on the subject of always upon His mind. Always upon His mind. We want to consider two main points. First of all, we want to look at the meaning of these words. What do these words mean? The Lord hath been mindful of us. And then we want to give some specific matters in which the Lord is mindful of us. But again, notice the Lord hath been mindful of us. The word mindful carries the idea of attentiveness, carries the idea of awareness, carries the idea of observation and thoughtfulness. The word us is not a general and ambiguous us. It is a particular and distinct us. In other words, the Lord hath been mindful of Dan Gordon. This is what Brother Mark just preached in part of his message. So this is not just a general or ambiguous thought when we read, the Lord hath been mindful of us. We notice here who it is that is mindful of us. We notice that in the first two words. The Lord. This is not the God that most have dreamed up and created in their puny minds. This is not the God we're talking about. This is the Lord. This is not the God that the religious world preaches as an object of pity and shame. This is the Lord. The Lord, the one who is higher and greater than all, is mindful of us. The Lord who is higher and greater than the world, higher and greater than our most powerful enemy, higher and greater than all of our trials, higher and greater than all of our troubles, higher and greater than all of our difficulties. That Lord is mindful of us. The Lord hath been mindful of us. The word Lord here means the Almighty, the sovereign ruler of the universe, the one who without diffusion, without expansion, without multiplication, without division, penetrates and fills every area of the universe, is mindful of us. It's talking about the omniscient one, the one whose knowledge is distinct, the one whose knowledge is infallible and immutable and eternal and independent. He is mindful of us. The Lord is mindful of us. But notice the time frame of these words. The Lord hath been mindful of us. The time frame is really found in the first two words again. The Lord. You notice Lord there is all capital letters, so we know what that means. It means Jehovah. Jehovah hath been mindful of us. Jehovah has been attentive of us. Jehovah is aware and is observant of us, and all of that is with great thought, with great care, and great love. But that word Jehovah, that name, of course, covers all tenses. Past, present, and future. So when I read the Lord hath been mindful of us, that covers the past, that covers now the present, and that covers the future. In Exodus 3 and verse 14, we see that He is declared to be the great I am that I am. In other words, Jehovah. That is, I was, I am, and I shall always continue to be what I was and what I am. And that's Jehovah. And that is the one who is mindful of us. So this carries the idea that He has always been mindful of us. He always is mindful of us. And He always shall be mindful or attentive, observant of me. And again, that is with great thought and great care. There has never been a time, there has never been a moment, there has never been a day, there has never been a condition that I have found myself in, there has never been a circumstance that Dan Gordon has not been on the mind of God. Amen. That's amazing to me. Amen. That I cannot even begin to comprehend that thought. We cross the minds of very few on any given day. I mean, all of us here, we cross the minds of one another every now and then during the day. But overall, we cross the minds of very few on any given day. But every moment of every day, I'm upon the mind of God. Amen. I may not have crossed your mind on some specific day, but I know that every single day I am upon the mind of God. Never a day that is not so. You see, most are too busy to think about Dan Gordon. Most have too many other things to do to think of me on any given day. But the Almighty God of creation, the God who rules over all and sustains all, I am always upon His mind. always. We ought to rejoice when we read those words. The Lord hath been mindful of us. They speak of His love. They speak of His care. They speak of His compassion. They speak of the Lord's kindness. They speak of the Lord's long suffering, His mercy, His grace. I mean, who are we that we should be upon the heart and mind of God? And I want you to know today, I don't just cross the mind of God every now and then. I'm upon His mind all the time. And it's always been that way. There's never been a time when that wasn't so.
Amen.
So let's consider some specific instances, and we could go on all day. But I believe that I was upon His mind before creation. Before there was a single being, I was upon His mind. Before there was a single star. Before there was a sun. Before there was a moon. Dan Gordon was upon the mind of God. Before there was a single tree, before there was a single blade of grass, before there was a single plant, before there was a single mountain, I was upon the mind of God. And I believe when God created the heavens, I was upon His mind. I believe when He put the sun and the moon and the stars in their place, I was upon His mind. I believe when He created the grass and the trees and the plants and the hills and the mountains, I believe even then I was upon His mind. And I believe in the will and in the plan and the purposes and the providences of God. I believe I was upon His mind. And am. And that's why I believe Romans 8:28. Because I'm always upon the mind of God. Nothing, of course, happens by chance. Nothing happens by accident. All things are in the purpose. All things are in the plan of God. In fact, we read in Ephesians 1 in verse 11 that He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And I believe as He works all things after the counsel of His own will, and that's what He's doing right now. He's working all things after the counsel of His own will. And as He does those things, I am upon His mind. Never been a time when I wasn't upon the mind of God. I believe that I was upon His mind in all of my genealogy, in bringing my parents to about, and bringing my grandparents about, and go all as far back as you can go. I believe I was upon the mind of God. I believe I was upon the mind of God in my wife's genealogy, because the Lord knew that He would bring the two of us together. I've always been upon the mind of God. He's not going to forget me now. I'm not going to slip His mind now. My circumstances, my condition is not going to slip God's mind now. I've always been upon His mind. In fact, I believe that years ago, I don't know how many years it's been, it doesn't really matter. But I believe that years ago when the Lord led Brother Eugene Clark to have this conference, I believe I was upon God's mind at that time. Because God knew I would attend, I was on His mind even then. And as we gather here today, and as God laid the messages upon each one who would preach during this conference, I believe I was upon the mind of God. Because God knew I'd be here. God knew what I needed. You see, I've always been upon the mind of God. What a wonder. What a wonder of wonders. What an amazing thing. The Lord hath been mindful of us. But then I think about the covenant of redemption. We all know that there is an everlasting covenant between the Father, between the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That covenant regards the salvation of an innumerable people. Regards the salvation of a particular people. And I've always been in the mind of God in that covenant. In every aspect. And I don't know all the aspects of that covenant, but I do know this. That in every single aspect of that covenant, I was upon the mind of God. And I am upon the mind of God, and I forever shall be upon the mind of God in every aspect of that covenant. I believe in all the provisions of that covenant. I was, I am, and I always shall be upon the mind of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Before the foundation of the world, the all-knowing God, knowing full well that I would be a sinful and vile creature, knowing full well that I would be have a deceitful and unrighteous heart, knowing that I would live in a state of darkness, knowing that I would live in a state of slavery, knowing that I would live as the very enemy of God, knowing that I would have a heart filled with hatred and a heart that was guilty and condemned before God, knowing that I would be hopeless and helpless, yet in every single aspect of that covenant, I was upon His mind. God in His infinite love, God in His infinite goodness had me upon His mind in every aspect and every provision of that covenant. And in choosing a people for whom Jesus Christ would come to save and to spare, I was upon His mind. I'm not just talking about a general or ambiguous group of people. I'm talking about distinct individuals that were upon the mind and the heart of God. When Jesus Christ would come to save people. In the provision of that covenant, I believe provision was made for the calling of God's people. And I was upon His mind. I believe provision was made for the drawing of God's people. And I was upon His mind. The provisions of that covenant, of course, include regeneration, redemption, cleansing, reconciliation, and on and on and on we could go. But my point is, I was upon His mind. In all of it. And then I think about when Jesus voluntarily left the glories and majesties of heaven. I was on His mind. Not just the general people, but I was upon His mind. You see, Jesus in heaven had all the glory, had all the majesty of God, had all the praise and had all the adoration of all the angels. But there came a time, there came a day, when Jesus, according to the plan of God, would leave all the riches and splendors of heaven and come to this sin-cursed earth. And I believe when He did, I was on His mind. I read in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, though he was rich, yet for your sakes, and I believe I'm included in that word your, he became poor that ye, and I believe that's me, through his poverty, might be rich. And I believe as God was forming the human body of Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary, I was upon his mind. He was preparing that body for me. And I believe that everything that Jesus went through upon this earth was for the people he came to save. And I was upon his mind. I believe that, I believe this again, not in a generic sense, but in a distinct and very particular way. I can't understand everything that transpired when Jesus was in the wilderness with Satan, but I do believe this. I believe I was upon his mind. Amen. Even then. I believe when he was falsely accused, when his enemies took up stones to stone him, when they sought to lay hands upon him, I was upon his mind. Amen. As he lived his life upon this earth, and he hungered, and he thirsted, and he became weary, I again believe I was upon his mind. I believe all of his people were, in a distinct way. As Jesus walked this earth, I believe every step he took, I was upon his mind. I believe every place he went, I was upon his mind. You believe what you want to. This is what I believe. I believe that every work he did, I was upon his mind. That I was upon the mind of Jesus Christ. I believe when he worked the miracles that are recorded in the Gospels, I was upon his mind. I believe when he inspired Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to write of those miracles, I was upon his mind. Did he not know that one day I would read of those miracles and be blessed of God? I was on his mind. Did he not know that one day I would preach those miracles? I conclude that I was upon his mind when he worked the miracles. But I also conclude that I was upon his mind when he inspired the Word of God. And as he has preserved his word, I think about the cross. As Jesus lived upon this earth, the cross wasn't something he dreaded. The cross wasn't something he tried to escape. It's what he came here for. And as you read the Gospels, you see that he always had the cross before him. And it was as if he was anticipating the cross. He often spoke of his hour. And I don't believe he did so in a dreadful way. And I certainly don't believe that he did so in a fearful way. But he spoke of his hour, looking forward to his death. With anticipation, he prayed in John 17 and 1. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Amen. Jesus never wavered from the purpose of the cross. He never sought to escape the cross. He knew what the cross was for. And he knew who it was for. And I was on his mind. Amen. On the night of his arrest, he prayed. There in John 17, remember he said, I pray for them. Again, I don't believe that was a generic them. I believe he prayed for me specifically. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. That night, Jesus Christ prayed, and he did so with me upon his mind.
Amen.
There in Gethsemane, it was there that he began to feel the weight of sin. And again, I don't believe he began to feel the weight of sin in a generic sense. But I believe he began to feel the weight of my sin.
Amen.
And feeling the weight of my sin, I conclude that I was upon his mind.
Amen.
As a result of feeling the weight of my sin, we read that he began to be sorrowful. A sorrow that went into the innermost parts of his being. And that was for me. And he had me upon his mind.
Amen.
As his sorrow engulfed him. And then we read, and he began to feel very heavy. That is, he was painfully troubled. He was much distressed. He was tormented. He was tortured. Not because he was dreading the cross, not because he was fearing the cross, but because he was feeling the weight of my sin. Because he was feeling the vileness and the wretchedness and the wickedness of my sin. So I believe I can safely conclude that I was on his mind. Feeling this sorrow, feeling this torment, he said to Peter and James and John, he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Affliction, anguish, grief, torment was engulfing him because of my sin. And I was upon his mind. I believe at this time, sin, this affliction, this terrible weight, this anguish, this grief, it was beneath him, it was above him, it was on either side of him, it was beneath, it was everywhere, he was engulfed. And I was upon his mind. A little later, he would be betrayed by Judas into the enemy's hands. And remember when he said, let these go. I know he was talking about the apostles, but I believe I was on his mind also. And when he was taken to Caiaphas, and there they sought false witness against him, and the council declared, he is guilty. He is guilty of death. And you know what he was? Not because of any sin of his own. Because of my sin.
Amen.
And I again was upon his mind. Then they did spit in his face. And there is the Son of God with the spittle of depraved and vile men upon his face. And I cannot help but believe, but I was upon his mind. Even then. They buffeted him. Others smote him, the palms of their hands. And he endured it all. And I was upon his mind. They would then bind him, send him to Pilate. From there we know that he would go to eventually be sent to Herod. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And with each accusation, I was upon his mind. He never forgot me. Not once. They mocked him. They arrayed him in a gorgeous robe. And then they again sent him to Pilate. And the crowd in unison and with intense hatred began to shout, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" You cannot imagine what those words sounded like in the ears of the Son of God. But I believe I was upon his mind. He is then scourged, and as that leather that Brother Mark spoke of, intertwined with ox bone torn to his flesh, I believe Dan Gordon was upon his mind. You can believe if you want to in a generic sense, but I believe Dan Gordon was upon his mind. He is taken into the common hall. He is surrounded by a band of soldiers. He is stripped. He is crowned with a crown of thorns. And again, the cruel and the hateful mockings begin. And again he's spit upon. And again he's smitten. And with his back torn and his face beyond human recognition, he's led to Golgotha with two thieves. And as he carried his cross for a little way that he was to be nailed to, I was upon his mind. And along the way, there were the taunts. And there was the ridicule. And I was on his mind. He is then nailed to that cross. The nails pierce his hands and his feet. And I was upon his mind. Amen. Then they lifted up that cross and they thrust it into the ground. And all of his bones came out of joint. And I was upon his mind. Never been a time when I wasn't. And I believe that through all the accusations, through all the mockings, through all the ridicule, through all the shame, through all the spitting, through all the smitings, I was on his mind. Then I believe when the Father looked down upon his Son, upon that cross, the Father saw my sin. And I was on the Father's mind. He saw all my sin. He saw all my sin upon his Son. He saw every one of my defiances upon his Son. He saw every lie that I would ever tell upon his Son. He saw all of my murmurings and all my complainings upon his Son. Don't tell me I wasn't on his mind. He saw all of my rebellions. He saw all of my covetousness and all of my selfishness. He saw all of my stubbornness and he saw all of my rejections of his leadings. He saw all of my pride and all of my irreverence, walking in my ways and my self-will and my unbelief. He saw it all upon his Son. That's not all he saw. I believe he saw all these things and all their filthiness. He saw all the filthiness of every sin that I would ever commit. He saw all the vileness of all of my sins. He saw all the putridness, and it's all upon His Son. And with me upon His mind, He struck His Son. Read Isaiah 53. He smote His Son. And I was on His mind. He afflicted His Son. I was on His mind. And eventually He would turn His back upon His Son. And again, I believe I was upon His mind. Amen. Through it all. Amen. Eventually, we know they laid Jesus in a grave. And after 3 days and three nights, He arose victorious. Amen. Over sin. Victorious over death. Victorious over the grave. And I believe as He came from that grave, I was upon His mind.
Amen.
40 days later, He ascended back into glory and sat down at the right hand of the Father as the honored one, as the conqueror of His foes. And I believe that's where He is today. And I believe that I'm upon His mind.
Amen.
Even now. I believe today that no matter where I am, I'm on His mind. I believe that no matter what circumstances I might have to face, I'm on His mind. I believe that no matter what trials, no matter how many fires that I might have to go through, no matter how many flooding waters I may have to endure, no matter how hard the wind blows, I am on His mind. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. In poverty, I'm on His mind. In wealth, I'm upon His mind. In sickness and health, at home or abroad, it doesn't matter. I am upon the mind of God. And then in closing, one day soon, one glorious day, Father is going to say to His Son, Son, go gather my children home.
Amen.
And I am going to be on His mind.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the trumpet is going to sound. Jesus is going to come. He's going to come right through enemy territory. And He's going to rescue His people from this sin-cursed earth. He's going to rescue us from the afflictions of this earth, from the sorrows, from the trials of this earth. He's going to rescue us from these bodies of sin. He's going to rescue us from the attacks and all the snares of Satan. And I realize He's going to do that with all of His people upon His mind. But I believe today when He comes, when that it sounds, Dan Gordon will be on His mind when He comes. And all we can say is, Amen, 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 Hallelujah. So come, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.